The Holy Gospel is written in the sixth chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, beginning with verse 14. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and his wisest miracle power are worked in him. Others said he is Elijah, and others claimed he's a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had been bound and put in prison. He did this because the Herodians, his brother's Philip's wife, who he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So the Herodians nursed and gurged against John and wanted him killed, but she was not able to do, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. And when Herod had heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportunity came, and on his birthday, Herod gave a banquet to the high officials and military commanders and leading men of Galilee. And when the daughter of the Herodians came and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. She went out, and she said to her mother, what shall I ask? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried to the king in the request, I want to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply distressed, but because of the oaths and the dinner guest, he did not want to refuse her. So immediately he sent to the executioners with orders to bring John's head. The man went to behead John in prison and brought him back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl. She gave it to her mother. On hearing this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, good morning, and thank you for coming. Happy birthday, Greg. He can look the other way. Doesn't change anything. Still a birthday. Hope you had a good week, and thank you for coming. Remember in the Gospel of Mark, Mark is always talking about Jesus. He wants you to know that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is God's Son. So in all the writings of Mark, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He pauses in this chapter to tell you the story and history of where the king was really coming from, what had happened. And he talks a little bit of what happened with John the Baptist. Remember, before we got to this and the week before, we were sent out by twos to give the gospel and proclaim the gospel. He told his disciples to go out. They were doing miracles. They were raising people from the dead. They were healing folks. And it was spreading across, and of course it's going out more than just Jesus doing it now. His disciples have the power to do the same. And so all of a sudden the word is getting out. There's this man Jesus empowering others to go out and perform miracles. And this king wants to know, who is that? Who can it be? Who's doing this? Remember, the kings of those times, and even in the line of Herod, always had a problem that they might lose their authority, that somebody else might take over what they have, part of their kingdom. And in the ancestry of this Herod, we had a Herod before that when Jesus was born, what did he want to do? Wipe any chance of anyone being born that might come up and be a king and take his kingdom. So he put a decree out, remember? Anyone two or less? Kill them. Back in these days, perhaps more than times that we know of, the kingdoms were very protective and very brutal in the things that they would do. And they were always worried about what others thought as somebody taking away their power. Here's one that now inherited part of a kingdom, and he didn't want to lose it. In this period of time, also, John the Baptist has been in prison. He's been in prison now for about a year. And the main reason for it was he let people know about what? Their sin. The message of John the Baptist is still true today. You are to what? Repent. And then he said, be baptized. Repent meant that we were to repent of our sin. We don't like to hear that word. We don't want to admit that word. That word is still true today, and we'll share some verses about that. Repent from your sin. In other words, when you recognize that you sin, turn away from it. And the baptism, even back in those days, was to show that you decided you would turn away from your sinful ways and you would follow God's ways, and to show that you had changed, there was baptism. Jesus came and showed that the example would continue, not that he needed to forgive us of sins, but in following God's command, people, we should repent and be baptized. Now, we got the story, didn't we? What happened? The king heard something that he did that wasn't right. What did he do? He married his brother's wife. It's interesting about sin, isn't it? When we recognize what it is and is it wrong, most of us know what sin is, don't we? Sin is what? Disobeying God. Now, you could say it would be disobeying your parents when you were young. God put them over you, and you might not obey. They say usually a child's first word other than mommy or daddy or whatever is no. Rebellion. No. No to what God puts as a law. We remember the Ten Commandments. And sometimes we say what? No. It's interesting, James 4:17 tells us, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it is sin. You ever fail to do the right thing? Today, you still do that once in a while? It's called a what? Sin. Now, what is unique about this is that no matter how you were raised, who you are, if it's your birthday or not your birthday, guess what? We have all sin. You can hide it. We may not know what it was, but we already know that it is. And I like James, because James says, once you get to that point of understanding right and wrong, when you do wrong, you're doing sin. Simple? That's your Bible for you. Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. And how do you get it? It says, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All of us earned a wage for for our sin. And that wage is death. To have a relationship with the eternal God, someone had to clear your slate and my slate as if we had never sinned. And the only one that could do that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he died on the cross, he took my sins and your sins. And now when God looks at you, in Hebrews he tells us to what? Come boldly before the throne of God. And why can I do that? Because my sins are washed away. Romans 3:23 reminds us we've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. And if we left it there, we might all be in a little distress, wouldn't we? But we have 1 John. And when you read 1 John, the disciple John says, I wrote these things that you might know. Not that you can hope, not you can think so, or you're hoping that it happens. He says, I write these things that you might know. And then he comes with 1 John 1:9. Remember this one in your Sunday school? If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All, little word, big meaning, all unrighteousness. We can be right with God. You can know today if you're right with God, or you can know that you're still in your sin. And if you're not doing what's right and you're disobeying God, you can know you're sinning. I wanted you to know those verses for you, but also for this story. If you think about it, here are two folks that were told, if they didn't know that what they did was wrong, here comes John the Baptist and lets them know very clearly. Kind of like Amos when he goes. The prophets let the people know where they were with God. If they were doing okay, they need to make some changes, or what God will do if they didn't change. And so here Herod and his wife, they hear that somebody is performing miracles and sending people out to do the same. Who is this man? And when they asked, they heard different answers. And one of the answers they heard was, oh, that's John the Baptist raised from the dead. Now, if you could put yourself in the drama scene, what would you be thinking if you were the king or his wife? Uh-oh. We thought we handled the problem. We heard the message. We didn't like the message. And so we got rid of the messenger. Now, the king wasn't as brave as his wife. He just was interesting. This stuff about sin, this stuff about righteousness, it's interesting. But he didn't make a change and he didn't accept it. Later, we find there's other kings like that. Remember King Agrippa in the Bible? And Paul got sentenced to go and to have his trial in front of King Agrippa. And Paul explained the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right near the end there, King Agrippa says, you know what, Paul? You nearly got me. You know, I nearly became a Christian, but I don't think so. I don't think he'll have that. I think Herod was at that point. He knew it was interesting. He knew that there was a sense about John being different and kept him in prison. But his wife found a way to get rid of the messenger. And so John was beheaded. Now, all of a sudden, has John the Baptist come back? Can you imagine the king and maybe his wife might be just a little bit scared, right? Because once you know you sinned, I think the worst part about sin is once we know it's not right and we're away from the things where we should be, we carry something called guilt. Have you ever done a sin and carried a guilt? It was pretty clear that you were what? Wrong. You ever admit you were wrong? Some of them might look at each other and say, you never admit he's wrong. You know right from wrong. Do you know you're wrong? When we were kids, we were always worried if we did something we weren't supposed to do, that we might get caught or found out. And I don't know if this is true with all mothers, but I know with my mother, if we move something in the house and we put it back where we thought it was, she knew it was touched. Is that with every mom? It was amazing. How would she know? I remember my sister, she got her report card and she changed her grades on the report card. She never expected my parents to figure it out. I mean, they were erased pretty good. And I think she even got a typewriter and had them retyped. But she got caught. And when we have got caught or know that we're wrong and our conscience has got us to where we recognize our sin, we know there's a thing called judgment. Remember when they went out and chose? If the people wouldn't hear the word, they were supposed to shake off the dust of their feet and move on. If you didn't want to hear what you needed to hear, you moved on. But the warning in that was that with those two witnesses, if you listened to it, it confirmed it was true. But if you didn't listen, you were asking for judgment to come. The king and his wife knew that if John the Baptist had raised from the dead, now they might have judgment to come. I'm going to ask you today, you know what's right? You told me. You know what's right? You know what's wrong. You know if you have sinned today or if you've confessed your sin. If you have not confessed your sin and you're holding on to your sin, then I am going to tell you, judgment will come. And yet you can have release of that judgment and freedom by trusting in Jesus and confessing your sin to Him. And He is just, and He will what? Forgive you. Not on what I consider the right sin, the wrong sin, this level sin, that level sin. It says, He is just and He forgives me from all my sin. I'm not here to judge that. You are. You know what's right and wrong. You know how you're living today. You know how you live tomorrow. You know how you live this week.
And if you need to get it right, you need to get it right with Jesus. You need to confess it. And the guilt can be released. And you can be renewed and living for Him. That, I believe, is the fear of the king and his wife. Why is the story there for the disciples to hear? One is to let them know, if this can happen to John the Baptist, don't be surprised when they come and want to kill me. Disciples, the message may go out, but it may not always be received. And there will be those that don't want to hear it, and those that will even kill those who are the messengers. An interesting message for our disciples, wasn't it? Because most of them, when they gave the gospel after Jesus left, their message at a point wasn't received well, and they were martyred for the King of Kings. And yet they laid their lives down for the Lord Jesus Christ. John ended up going to the Isle, imprisoned into the Isle of Patmos, and he gave us Revelation, but even he suffered. They all suffered in some ways. And the message is, even though we live in a country of freedoms, and we look at the United States in different ways, I'm going to tell you, if you stand up for Jesus, it may not always be easy. And there may be a day where you may suffer for proclaiming your faith in Christ. And that's what he's trying to tell his disciples. Don't be surprised when the religious leaders or the kings decide that they want to get rid of me. That message from John the Baptist is a very simple warning for all of us that we need to be right with God. We need to know that when we come to church, or we're in fellowship with Him, that we have been forgiven. And when we come here at the altar, this is the time where we show, one, our love for Him, and we are so thankful for the forgiveness in His body and in His blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your prophets of old told the story of God and His ways. We're thankful for messengers and disciples like John the Baptist and the disciples who followed You and gave the good news. It's such good news to be free from sin by trusting in Jesus. What good news. And help us love You more. Help us know the right and the wrong and stay right. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, guide and direct us, we pray. Amen.